Lord, you are all I'm living for. You are King of everything. I want my life to praise you. I want my life to praise you. I want my life to praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's been such a joy to work through the gospel story with you all and to be able to be inspired and encouraged that we are joining God in his plan and we are being able to fulfill the prophetic word of the story of creation all the way through to this time and forever and ever. What a joy it is to join with the Father. Amen? It's wonderful that I get blessed to have his blessings. It's wonderful that I can have peace and I can have his joy. But when I back up a few steps and I look at the big picture, I realize it's really not about me at all. While I am so blessed to have that love and forgiveness, I have to look at it from that perspective of what can I do to love him back? How can I be a part of his plan? How can I be more successful in doing his will and walk away from my own selfishness and my own desires? It's a challenge, isn't it? It's not easy to do that, but it's a reminder that we all need to hear. We are here to receive his love, greatest challenge of all, number one priority. If you have not received his love yet, you need to do that today. Quit refusing his amazing grace. And that's what this next song is all about. You need that same love to shine within you as all believers have. And maybe you're here today and you're just beating yourself up a little bit because life is tough. There are things that we face that get us down when we look the wrong way. Just remember, you're here for him to honor and bless him, but first receive his love. And let everything else fall into place. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty? So much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy this amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down. I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
One more time.
All that you've done for me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Lord, we're so thankful for your grace, your forgiveness, your love. Oh, we just bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, one of the ways that we are blessing the Lord on a very regular basis is by giving. And we're going to take just a moment and pray over the offering time. I know many of you are doing that online, and I appreciate that that you're able to do that. It's such a significant thing to be able to have that flexibility. And I'm so thankful for our technology group that helps us out in this department. You know, I think of Shane over here on my left. He's just helping up there with the computer just moments ago. He's just got this wonderful skill set that God uses in a wonderful way. And I'm so thankful for this whole team. This church is just amazing. And thank you for helping this church succeed, all of you. And giving is part of the reason why we can do that. We're able to have an open foyer area to make a handicap access that's going to be significantly better with a future plan for another construction. Why? Because of your faithfulness. And the blessings of God. So let's just give thanks to the Lord. And after I pray, we're going to sing another song, and you're welcome to give in the offering here in person or online. So Lord God, thank you for the blessing it is to give. We think of later on how we'll honor our missionary to campuses in Green Bay and how we can support that mission. But Lord, we also know there's desires that we have to do more here. We think of dinner church as one of those significant things, and others that we're going to be involved with our kids and our youth, our women's leaders and the ministries they're doing, and what we're going to start up for our men. Lord, it's significant and it's wonderful, but it takes offerings from faithful people. And so I want to pray a blessing on all those who have been so faithful to give, even when it's been difficult. And I just pray your blessing to flow upon each and every one. We give you praise and glory and honor, and it is a privilege to be able to give, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, there's a lot of things in the world that try to get our attention to make us fulfilled, and I can't even imagine doing full-time college ministry. I mean, wow, that has got to be exponentially more difficult than it was 20 years ago. Exponentially. And there's a lot of things seeking the attention of our young people that say, hey, I'll fulfill you. I'll give you all that you want. And it's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie of the flesh, and it's a lie of the enemy. We can find that fulfillment through God, through our Father, and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's think about that as we continue to worship him today.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love.
Sing it with me.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
I'm not afraid, sorry,
to show you my weakness.
There it was.
My failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend.
Hallelujah.
Because the God of this mountain is the God of the valley. Place your mercy and grace will find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Let's sing it again.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
One more time.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just give some praise and worship and honor to him at this time. However, you are free to do that. Just begin to just praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have a confession to make. Don't worry, it's not too heavy. I don't do this song without hearing the voice of God. And what he says to me is, someone needs to know they're beautiful.
Yes.
I don't do this song unless God speaks to me and says, this is a word someone needs to hear. We sing this song every now and then because I believe there's people that are hurting, people within our own body that are being beat up by themselves and by the enemy. Stop listening to the enemy, first of all. You are a beautiful creation of God.
Yes,
that is not a lie, that is the truth. Amen. And now quit listening to yourself. Because you're lying to yourself as well. You are harming your own strength in the Spirit. God doesn't make junk. I used to think I was junk. Second rate, average to little or nothing. And God straightened me out. Hallelujah. Let him straighten you out today. For once and for all. Maybe this is the second time, third time, fifth time. I don't care. This is the last time that you let this stronghold have a force in your life. I'm praying for a break and a bondage breaking moment while we sing this song. It's a very nice sounding song, kind of almost Cinderella-like, whatever that means. It's not my favorite. But when I know you need to know you're beautiful, it is my favorite. This is my favorite song today, and it's because of you. Thank you, Lord, for making us beautiful. Hallelujah. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, bending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, you are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Oh, you are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Thank you, Lord, for doing the impossible. The most incredible impossible of all time is making one person brand new all over again. There's nothing greater. I've seen cancer healed and removed. I've seen some pretty awesome miracles, Lord. I've seen a dog that was going to die just moments away rise up, jump up, run in circles like he just got out of a bath. Great miracle, Lord. It was pretty cool. I'll never forget it. But when you make a person new, you break the mold. It's the only one like it. I am the only one like me. They, each and every person in the sound of my voice, is the only one like themselves. Beautifully made by the hands of the Master. And you take what was broken and you restore it. You take what was lost and it's now found. What was not family becomes family. What was not Israel becomes Israel. Unbelievable, amazing, miraculous. And you can do the impossible. If you can do this with any person in this entire world, then there's nothing we face that we can't trust you with. And so, Lord, we trust you. We place our burdens in your care. And we give you thanks. We ask your will to be done, Lord, that your anointing will continue to flow for this day and every day since and following, Lord, we pray. We give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated today. Whew. Well, Dean, I didn't yank my ears off. We have a new system that we're trying out with in-the-ear monitors. How many know it's not just all that great to hear your own voice in your own head? It's like, whoa. We're gonna get used to that as time goes. I only used one of the earbuds because I want to hear you as well. I want to be able to hear you sing and just bless the Lord along with me. And so that worked for me for just 1 year, and I didn't walk away and get in trouble by being hooked up over here. So I'm going to, just in a few moments, turn the service over to Brian Bishop. But before I do that, I believe we have some announcements to make. I think we have a commercial for our Boys Adventure Camp that's coming up. Oh. I hear somebody. Oh my goodness! Oh, what yeah. in the world is that?
Oh, this is my good steed, Windy. That's got strong legs.
Windy.
Windy. Yeah, Windy. You don't want to be downwind to Windy.
Oh well, can you turn around, please? I don't want to stand here. I mean, that's
well, yeah.
There, thank you. That's safe.
Well, we're here to promote Ranger Mountain and Boys and Girls Adventure Camps.
Ah,
we're going in a couple few days for the boys, and the girls are next week, and we are going to have a lot of fun.
That sounds like fun. What are you all going to do up there?
Well, let's see. We're going to shoot bow and arrows at each other.
Oh, I'm not
well,
so sure
arrows,
that's a good...
You don't shoot the bows. You shoot the arrows.
You don't... Okay, well, you're going to shoot arrows?
Marshmallows on the end.
Like edible marshmallows?
No, the kind you don't eat because, you know, people think they're going to get hurt or something. So,
okay,
well, we got those.
And that's
good. We're going to throw some hatchets.
There again, I'm not so sure about that.
Oh, that's just fine. The kids are 20, 30 feet downrange. You'll be
okay,
fine.
No one can throw that far.
Then,
famous last words.
The high ropes course.
Oh, that sounds like, way better.
That's like 30
if you,
feet in the air.
And kids bounce, I hear.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so
and
that's not a problem.
From 30 feet, they get a good 3 foot off the ground after they hit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's good. Lots of fun. Lots of fun.
That reminds me of a story of this lady that fell out of the 10th floor. you know, she I don't know what she was doing climbing around, but she fell.
She was probably outside the window when she fell. That's yeah. what she was doing.
But there was this other lady that fell out of the first floor.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just weird because the one that was falling was going, ah, boom.
Well, they were both falling, you said.
Well, no, that was the one from the 10th floor, but the one on the first floor went, boom, ah.
And with that, that interesting story, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll do some cooking.
Oh, I like cooking.
We'll do some cleaning. We're going to have some fun.
There's no spam allowed, right?
What in tarnation are you talking about? Of course we got spam, right, Jaden? Yeah,
well, I guess a little spam is okay. I kind of like fried spam myself.
We got spam, and we've got, oh, we're gonna wreck stomachs. We got Dinty Moore beef stew. That stuff is harsh.
Woo!
That's like eating chocolate milk on a hot day. Then.
Ew.
Then. Oh, yeah, we're going to have fun. Okay. It's going to be a good time. So make sure that you're ready to go Wednesday morning, 7 o'clock. We're leaving bright and early. And
all
Wendy's
right.
coming with us.
7 o'clock.
Yeah,
bright
Wendy's
and early.
Going to provide the extra gas to get there.
Well, Wendy's kind of fidgety. Every time you turn around, so does Wendy.
Well, you know, Wendy's, you know, she's calm, but
that's some
she doesn't like you, I don't think.
That's some incredible
yeah,
strength
in those
back legs.
She's going to leave you a present right about now.
I had a horse.
I feel the rumble back here.
Oh.
Yeah, see, feel the rumble.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Anyway,
I don't want to know what's coming out of there.
We also have something else to do.
Okay.
That's really going to make Wendy have problems.
I think I know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Should I say what it is?
Go ahead.
I think the BGMC broke the barrier for the next level nut. Woohoo!
Oh, where are those?
So we need to get some stuff.
So we need Lloyd. Where's Justin?
Justin, is he not going to be here again?
That dog rascal.
Who wants to volunteer in Justin's place? Anybody out there feeling brave?
Justin is going to get three the next time. He's going to have to suck on them.
Yeah, I think
I'm going to make.
We need to do a video of him by himself.
No, that's not fair.
That's not fair. Okay.
No.
Well, we'll get him here.
Yes.
All right.
So anyway, so we need Lloyd down here. Lloyd, I got him down here.
Oh.
We need, Austin, we need our savior.
Hey,
our
you want to know something?
Savior. Come on, bring it on up.
Come on, Austin.
Come on up.
And, did you know that Lloyd won the disc tournament yesterday at the Mikoshika Buzzard Days?
He was throwing cow pies, I heard, into a bucket.
It was pretty good stuff, I tell you.
Nice round cow. Were they buffalo pies or cow pies? Those
but
big round ones.
There was this this really awesome, highly intelligent, physically fit guy out there that also got a hole in one.
Good job, Lloyd.
No,
good
job. That wasn't Lloyd. That wasn't Lloyd.
Jaden, I need your help. I need you quickly to go down these stairs and get us our peanuts. Quickly.
Oh, he's a runner.
Okay,
I can tell.
It's going to take a while, so we're going to visit. That's his quick pace. Right
so
there.
There was a three-way tie for first place at the disc tournament.
There was.
It was pretty
who
cool.
Who ate the most?
I don't think
those
you understand.
Those are the only kind of pies I like.
You're thinking of peppermint patties, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
But Lloyd won the playoff, so high five.
Oh,
high five.
Why don't you do
don't
it.
Leave me hanging, man.
I'll do it.
All right.
It's hot underneath this cowboy hat up here. We got stage lights or something? Woo! It's toasty.
So are you going to chug from the jug if you need a drink of milk,
yeah.
or do you have glasses?
No. Let's man up.
All right.
Okay. Now,
I can't wait for you to wipe your eyes afterwards.
I know, right? So here's the deal.
I'm going to go down there so I can watch.
Monday is youth group, and then Wednesday it's going to be a girls' night. Talk to Pastor Jennifer about that. So it's this one right here.
Yeah,
what
says,
are we getting?
This one says it's getting real.
Carolina Reaper, 7 pot brain strain peppers. So it's a peanut soaked in that stuff.
Brain strain.
I get that all the time. I'm just
doing the simple things.
You know what? Sometimes the simple things are the hardest things. Like getting out of bed.
Ooh.
What?
That's perfect enough for you.
No, that's
El
two.
Grande.
It's like two or three with a whole big pack of hot stuff stuck in between them.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a V, and it's stuck in there. You better take two of them yourself. Save one for Justin, buddy. I hope you're listening, Justin.
Oh, man.
You ready? Oh, you took the littlest one.
No, I didn't. I got two.
Oh, okay. Two tiny ones. You know what? I'm cowboying up. You ready?
Yeah, ready?
All right. One, two, three. Go. Ha! Tricked him. Oh, you.
Ooh, that's warm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's already burning. I'm not going to happen. Mm. Boy, Wendy, you're lucky you didn't eat this. Is it getting hot in here? Don't man up on me now. Don't. You dick it. I hate peanuts. Makes them harder to swallow. Get that. Oh. Oh. No. You gave me the hottest ones. You. Oh.
Oh, wow. Pastor Jennifer, what was the amount? They reached the 1,500 mark, right? Is that what that amount was? And I think we're almost up to 2 grand now. It's getting up there. So I think the next level is like 2,500. So we're not that far away. So let's keep the giving going for our missions department. What? 1,800 about. Okay, awesome. So we're climbing that ladder to get to that ultimate one where someone is supposed to die. So I can't wait. No, we don't want anybody to die. But I am so blessed to, I'm using this mic because I don't have my lapel mic. And, Brian, when you're up here, if you're hungry, there's some leftover ones here, it looks like. So in your bulletin, you have all the announcements you need. Just keep aware of that stuff. It's got the camps on there. Guest speaker for next week. Tina and I will be on vacation for the next couple of weeks. We'll miss 2 Sundays in a row, and we'll be getting some rest and relaxation. However, our plan is hopefully we have a good enough signal where we can still be at church with you via the internet. So that's our hopes that we can have a good enough signal for that. So I will be watching. So, yeah, maybe I shouldn't just not watch, right? You know, put all that pressure on you. Just kidding. Okay, ladies, coffee, wise guys, ladies, topical study, all this is good stuff. So, and thank you once again for your giving. You can see that the building fund has gone up, and we're meeting our budget, and we're just so blessed. So I'm going to turn it over to Brian, and he is a missionary to a campus 22 miles from my first church. Isn't that incredible? Oh, yeah, kids... Church can be dismissed. Thank you, Pastor Jennifer. It might be a while before Pastor Jason joins you. I don't know.
Awesome. All right, thanks, Pastor. Good morning, Glendive Assembly. It is so good to be here again. I am not eating these. I will be in the hospital if I touch that stuff. No, thank you. Oh, my gosh. Guys, I am so excited to be here because it's been a few years. First of all, let me share this fun story. So one of my students that I had in our ministry is really great at frisbee golf. And so he wanted to teach me how to do it and some other students. So he'd take us out, show us how to do it. And I'm terrible. But when I got to Glendive, I had nothing to do. I'm like, well, I'm going to see if there's any frisbee golf courses out here. And then I saw there's one at Makoshika. And it said there was a league that night. I'm like, oh, awesome. I can go out there and I can just, I'm not going to take my disc because I'm terrible, but I'll learn from some of the guys that are out there how to do this thing. And so I'm out there. And when I first got there and I pull up and I see Shane off in the, I'm like, Shane? And sure enough, it was Shane. And so I say, hey, can I hang out with you guys and with all these guys and everything? And we're going around. They're giving me tips and everything. Like, oh, you do this when you want to throw that way. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. We get to the 8th hole. This is halfway through the day. Okay, like an hour or so into this course. And then all of a sudden, Shane says, hey, Pastor, I think it's your turn. And I said, wait, Shane, is that Pastor Kevin? He's like, yeah. I'm like, Pastor Kevin, I'm speaking at your church on Sunday. I was hanging out with these guys for like an hour. I'm like, we did not do a good job of introducing ourselves. It's really bad form. But I will blame him for that. I was wearing a huge T-shirt that said Chi Alpha right on the front of it. So it's kind of his fault. But so... Guys, I'm so excited to be here. Do you have that PowerPoint up there, Shane? Is it working? Did you break it? There it is. Awesome. Well, let me start by just kind of introducing my family who's actually here with me today. My wife, Angie, and I, we've been married for 17 years. And we have a daughter who is now 14, Ellie, and our son, Jaron, is 13. My son is now taller than my wife is. And some of you are thinking, well, Brian, why didn't you get an updated photo? That is updated. That was only 2 weeks ago. No, I'm kidding. If you go to the next slide, you can see a picture of our family there together. And let me start by just sharing at Green Bay the vision statement that we live by, which is we live by the list. I love acronyms. My wife will tell you I come up with some ones that I have to run them by her first because some of them are really terrible. She'll tell you that. But here's one that I came up with, and this is what we live by. First, L stands for love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Everything that we do hinges on that. If it doesn't meet that standard, we don't do it. I stands for invite. That is to invite people to live life with you. That does not mean that you only invite them to come to church on Sunday. It doesn't mean that you just invite them to youth group, but we say everything that you do, if you don't have to do it by yourself, don't. If you're going to study, invite someone to do it with you. If you're going to go home and do laundry, invite someone to go with you. If you're going to go have a meal, invite someone to do it with you. That's real life. Because if you only invite people to church, if you only invite people to Chi Alpha, you're just inviting them to program and not life. S is to serve. Serve the campus. Jesus Christ came and modeled that for us, of what it meant to give of oneself for the betterment of others. So if there is a need on our campus in students' lives, Chi Alpha wants to meet it. In fact, my desire is one day in our nation, I believe that campus ministries will not be allowed on our campuses. When that day comes and we are removed from our campus, I want the administration and the students to say, man, it really stinks that Chi Alpha is not here anymore because they served us so well. And then T is transform, and that is to transform the world through missions. We teach our students that every student gives to missions, every student goes on missions, every student prays for missionaries, and every student welcomes international students. You see, church, Mormons, they give 2 years to missions. They're required to. Christians give excuses. And so we tell our students, listen, when you're done with college, you'll have no better time in your life before you get that career, before you have a wife and a house and all these things that you have to take care of, to give a year for missions and pray about a lifetime. And right now, within Chi Alpha, so the Assemblies of God sends more missionaries into the world than any other Christian denomination. And within the Assemblies of God, Chi Alpha sends more missionaries than any other part of our ministry. We see thousands of students every year saying, I'm going to go to this country. I'm going to go to this country. I'm going to go to this country. So we believe in missions. We live by the list. Now, the last time I was here, my wife and I, we were serving at a small private campus called Lawrence University. If you go to that slide for me. I'm going to briefly just share some things with you guys about this campus. As a private campus, we didn't have any rights to be there. And when we first started on that campus, we had zero students. Usually when you call churches, the first time when you're pioneering a campus ministry, the first thing a campus pastor will do is call every church within that district to say, do you have any students coming to our campus? No pastors knew anybody. The only response I got was from one pastor that says, oh, I know that campus. My brother went there. He doesn't serve Jesus anymore. Yeah. So when we started on that campus, we had zero students. And we tried getting that ministry going for 5 years on this campus, digging through cement to try to get through some soil. But just in the last couple years, we hit some real hard times on that campus. First thing was is that we finally had a student that was willing to take the initiative to get us established. And the school said, all right, we'll give you a two-week trial period. This is unheard of. Like when I called our national office, like, what is that? But they gave us 2 weeks to see how we would do. And during those 2 weeks, we served that campus. We loved people. We invited people into our ministry. I got to sit down and have lunch with a transgender and minister the gospel to this young lady that was destroying her body to try to be a man as she weeps as she hears the word of God. We loved these people. 2 weeks later, the school sent us an email at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it said, hey, you guys did an amazing job. You loved our students. You let them express their opinions and everything else. You totally distinguished yourselves. We're denying your access to our campus. And they said it was because of me. They said they didn't like that I wasn't a student myself, although there was another campus ministry who's got like 5 staff there, so I knew that wasn't the case. But they didn't like that I was reaching people that didn't know the Lord, that I wasn't just trying to just create a new bubble for Christians to fit into. I wanted to reach people. Christianity is not an inreach, it's an outreach. After that letter, the dean of spirituality on campus gave us permission to meet in this small room upstairs in this building they had. And while we were having that meeting, a young girl came in one day, and she said, hey, can I borrow this easel from you? I'm like, sure, what do you need it for? She says, well, I'm starting an atheist club downstairs. And I said, well, wait, there's already an atheist club on campus. I thought I was friends with the president that recently graduated. She said, yeah, that one's disbanded. They were too hostile, so I wanted to start something that's a little bit more friendly. And I was like, that's amazing. I said, hey, listen, we're a Christian group, and Christians generally on this campus feel ostracized, and so I would love to get to know you and hang out with you guys and just build a relationship, see if we can build bridges. She's like, oh, okay. The next day, I got a call from the dean of spirituality to her office, and she says, I need to talk to you. I said, sure. She says, so this group, a couple of the students, said that you guys were ostracized and everything, and they were offended by that. And I said, do you not see the irony in this conversation we're having right now? That we're being ostracized because we're ostracized. I'm like, do you not see that? And she's like, oh, yeah. I said, I'd be willing to sit down with these students. I'm not going to apologize because we did nothing wrong, but I would love to have a dialogue with them. But after that, I was getting ready to fly to Nicaragua. I was going on a missions trip with some students. My wife calls me and says, you got to read this news article that was written about us. She said she was having lunch with another campus ministry friend on the campus, and she said to her, hey, I'm really sorry about this article that was written about you guys. And my wife was like, what are you talking about? So she calls me, and I read this article online, and basically it's just defamation. It's just flat-out lies about our ministry and how we didn't love people in the LGBTQ. We told our students not to associate with them. Even though that same article said we had a student that was a homosexual in our group for 4 years, but despite that, they just had an anonymous student say that this is how we treated people on the campus. We were unwelcoming and unloving. No one reached out to me for comment. Now, my first feelings was I was outraged. Like, how dare they? But I was getting ready to fly to Nicaragua, so I said, I'll take care of when I get back. I had to sit down with the national office. We were talking about getting our lawyers involved and everything. Like, what do we do with this? And at the end, they said, listen, they've already denied your access to be recognized on campus. It's a private school. You have no rights there. They said, maybe it's just time to pull. And I had to sit down with Joshua Ernst, and I told him, I said, I can't do it. I've been trying so hard for so many years. I'm like, so if I have to pull, you have to be the one that does it. And so my friend Joshua, who is my director, said, all right, I'm pulling you. It was really hard. It's really hard. Guys, we need to pray for Lawrence University. And listen, the big thing is this, is I want you to understand, the news article didn't bother me in the sense of how it was defaming towards me. Why? Because the Bible says that the world hated him first. So I wear it as a badge of honor that the world hates me. The thing that bothered me is that students read it and they believed it, which means they never got an opportunity to see the love of Christ. Pray for Lawrence University. But it's not all bad news at Lawrence. Like I said, we had to dig through cement to get to some soil, but we did reach some soil. One particular student that we had come in, his name is Garrett. Garrett was a student that was invited by another student. He was a person that said, I'm not a Christian, but I want to explore this thing called faith. And Garrett came to every meeting that we had, and he had amazing questions. He like some of those ones that some people would be scared to answer, but I was like, man, God's not scared of our questions. And he'd come every week, and we could see he was seeking. And towards the end of the school year, we were having to meet off campus. We meet at this coffee shop. And one particular week, when we're getting ready to do large group, Garrett was the only student that showed up this night. This is what it's like at Lawrence University. Just no buy-in. It was very hard. He was the only one that showed up, but my wife and I were like, well, we're not going to miss an opportunity to minister to whoever God brings. So that night, we sat down and answered more questions that Garrett had. And towards the end of that, I felt the Lord was saying that it was time. And so I said, Garrett, I feel like you are now at the place of where you recognize that you need Jesus in your life. Would you like to ask him to come into your life right now? And he said, can I do that here in a coffee shop? I said, yes, you can. You can do it anywhere. So right there in that coffee shop, Garrett prayed the prayer of salvation and accepted Jesus Christ into his life. Amen? Garrett, after that, he said he was going back to Washington, so I didn't get to water baptize him and help the disciple him beyond that. But I spoke to him several months ago, and he says he's plugged into a local church in Washington, serving the Lord, loving his family towards Jesus as well. When I was last here, I shared a story about this young man named Devin. But I want to reshare it with you guys and then share an update. When we were first starting at Lawrence University, Devin was one of the first students that came to our table. And we were doing these things, we were doing s'mores. And it was really great because we had this bench table thing set up with Sterno cans, with little fires. And so students would come and get a little stick and they'd start cooking those marshmallows. And we had them captive for a couple of minutes, right? They couldn't just grab something and go. Well, Devin was a student that stopped by our table, and I said, hey, listen, we're doing this thing called the Alpha Course, which is an 8-week series on the basics of the Christian faith. I'd like to invite you. I'm willing to check that out. I said, great, what's your name? So I wrote down, Devin. What's your last name, Devin? Gay, like my sexual orientation. That was his introduction to us. And Devin came to every single meeting that we had. All 4 years of his college career as an atheist, argued with everything we said. Even after a 3-hour conversation one time at a park where we talked about sexual purity, Devin kept coming. And I sat down with him at a McDonald's because he loved McDonald's. And I said to him one time, I said, Devin, you don't believe in anything we say. Why do you still come? And he said, because no one has ever loved me like you have. That's what we're called to do, church. Our job is to love people towards the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts the world of sin. He's the one that draws men to himself. Our job is to share the love and what he's done for us. Now, Devin, when he graduated, he was no longer an atheist. He'd moved up to agnostic. So there is no God, too. There is. I'm not really sure. But several months ago, Devin sent me a message on Facebook that I want to share with you guys. I have finally accepted Jesus Christ into my life. I completely found him. You were right. Thank you for being a guiding force in my life. I told my wife, I ran downstairs yelling, Devin accepted the Lord! And she goes, well, it is April 1st. I was like, no, Devin wouldn't do that. That's way too cruel. So I got on a Skype call with him, and I said, Devin, what happened? In church, I want you to hear this. Devin said that he was working at a Jimmy John's, and a guy came in and says, I go to the church down the street. I'd like to invite you. And Devin said that because he had been loved by Chi Alpha all those years, he was willing to give it a shot. And that first Sunday, he accepted Christ into his life. I planted a seed, someone else got to water, and God made it grow. And I want you to understand something. This church has been financially supporting our ministry, and there's a couple of you that support us individually. That fruit is yours. That fruit is yours. Devin will one day thank you when we're in heaven and say thank you for giving so that I could hear the truth of God's word. I wish it could have been me that led him. Boy, you guys, every week after I'd meet with him, I would cry before the Lord, please, please, Lord, get Devin. Please, Lord, he's so far from you. And now he knows him. When I was 3 years in at Lawrence University, I was beginning to think that I wasn't any good at this job. Couldn't get students to do that buy-in, couldn't get them to step into making Chi Alpha a reality on their campus. And I'm driving home one day, just literally crying before the Lord. I'm like, you got the wrong guy. I can't do this. You've got to send somebody else. And as I'm saying this to the Lord, he says, Brian, I want you to go to UW Green Bay as well. And I'm like, Lord, you're not listening to me. You've got to send someone else. The next day, my friend Joshua, again the director of our state, calls me and he says, I was praying and I felt like the Lord said, you're supposed to go to Green Bay. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So we're at Green Bay. And let me tell you, church, low-hanging fruit. In fact, so much so, let me just share this. I hope this really encourages you when you hear this. Sometimes life can be really hard. And you can be doing all that you can and you feel like you're getting nowhere, that you're banging your head against the wall and not accomplishing anything. Certainly how I felt with people like Devin. But I want to encourage you with this. This year alone, our student leadership has doubled in size, even though we couldn't be on campus. We will have more students in leadership than we ever had in attendance at Lawrence University. We did our last training session with our apprentices that are stepping up. They all lit these candles on a table saying, we're going to be a light for the Lord on our campus. And there was all these candles. And I just wept. And the Lord just really encouraged me, and I want to encourage you with this. Is just as Jesus shared the parables about giving the talents, and if you don't use those things, if you just bury them, that what is little is given will be taken away and given to someone else. And the Lord encouraged me and said, because I saw you were faithful those 5 years and you did not give up, now it's time for a harvest. Now it's time for fruit. You've earned it. Don't give up on where God's placed you. Keep pursuing him, and he's going to bring a harvest as you continue to pursue him and introduce others to him. Now, how do we do this at Green Bay? There's four things that we look at that I want to remind you of. One is that we protect the investment. Right now, statistically speaking, 77% of youth group attending teenagers, when they graduate from high school, will stop going to church and never go again. That means 8 out of the 10 of the kids that we raise in the faith don't know the Lord anymore. I was visiting with some people here in town recently. They go to another church, and I said, how are things going? They said, our church is dying. They said, we have no young people anymore. They all leave, and then it's gone. They said, there's only 2 churches in town that are really doing anything. And they said, Assembly of God was one of them. Amen to that. A lot of parents, they see that word protect the investment, and they'll say, oh, good. That means you're there to make sure that kids are going to keep on serving Jesus. But I want you to know that I'm not just a safety net. When we receive a Christian student that has been raised in the faith into our ministry, and we are able to disciple them of what it really means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, that it's not just waking up on Sunday morning, hard pass, I'm not a morning person. It's got to be more than that. Why does Jesus matter? We teach them how to share their testimony effectively. Because the Word of God does not say that we overcome by theology and doctrine. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Right, church? So you don't have to have all the answers. You just have to know, why does Jesus matter to you? And we teach them how to do that. And we see them and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, because we are the only campus ministry that teaches that the gifts of the Spirit are available to our students. And we see them become radically in love with Jesus Christ and sharing their faith with other people. And we do that discipleship training. Why? Because I'm on a campus of 9 to 10,000 students. I can't reach them by myself. And so when I'm sitting down with these students, I said, this is not a pizza party. There are people that are lost. They're going to die and go to hell if we don't reach them with the gospel. Do you want to help me do that? And we teach them how. Why? Because I want to reach the lost. I want to reach the lost of the second largest atheist agnostic nation in the world. Only China has more people that says there is no God than we do now. I want to reach them. A lot of people call me a campus pastor, but my first job description is U.S. missionary. I am sent to reach the lost. In fact, just a few stories for you here. In a minute, I'll be showing a video to you guys of a student, but let me just kind of give you a backstory here. We were doing this event on campus called Something in a Mug. So we had all these drinking stations of different things, root beer floats, coffee punch, all these different things. And it's just a big table of all these random mugs. And students would come up and they'd get a mug. And they go around those stations and they drink around. Well, there's this young man named Alex that had done that. And our students were inviting him to, we were doing a sober party, party 2.0 at our house. We were letting our college students throw a party at my house. I put my mom and my kids and my wife, we put ourselves up in a hotel. I had to go to all my neighbors in the neighborhood and knock on all their doors and say, listen, there's going to be a raging party at my house this weekend, but there's no alcohol, no drugs, anything like that, so please don't call the cops. The police station is just behind our house, so I went over there. I says, man, nothing's going to be crazy. We're even going to have people at the door to prevent people from bringing in stuff, which some people did try from what our students told us. So they throw this huge sober party at our house, and they tell me the next day it went really well. And guys, we had sponsors. I had cases of Red Bull this high in my house. Like, Red Bull sponsored us. We got food from all over town. It was great. They were shotgunning Red Bulls. Like, I got photos of it. My wife says, don't post that in the newsletter. People might not misunderstand what we were doing there. I don't recommend shotgunning beer or Red Bull. Some of our students were pretty messed up after that. Anyway, the next day, I'm sitting on my couch. It's Saturday now. I'm just watching some TV, relaxing, and all of a sudden there's a knock on my door. And I go to open the door, and here's this kid, Alex, standing in front of me. I'm like, oh, hey, Alex, what's up? He's like, I'm here for the party. I'm like, oh, no, man, that was yesterday. He's like, sorry, we're not doing anything tonight. He was like, oh, shoot. I said, yeah, you're going to have to go back to campus. He's like, oh, but I took an Uber here. I said, all right. I said, I'll tell you what, you and I will just have a party. So I took him down to go get some frozen custard, got back to the house, and then I asked him his story. Church, I'm sharing this with my students all the time. I want to share it with you. When it comes to sharing the gospel, it does not start with God created the heavens and the earth. The gospel starts with, tell me your story. You need to hear where people are. You need to understand where they're coming from and validate those things so that they can know that you care enough about who they are before you could share about Jesus. So if you want to know how to do the gospel, start there. Start by inviting someone to coffee and say, tell me your story. And listen. So Alex told me his story. And Alex comes from a broken home. Father, abusive. In fact, there would be times that Alex would come to meetings and he'd be curled in a ball in a corner crying, please no, because he was having flashbacks of his father beating him. Broken person. He wrote awful stories. He's a story writer, but his stories were dark. He didn't know who he was. He wanted to be things for other people. He contemplated suicide. And then I shared with Alex my story about what Jesus did in my life. Huge part of that, just to say, Sam Hostetler, who's here, I got to spend 5 hours with him the other day. Haven't seen him in years. Guys, I would not be standing up here today if it was not somebody like Sam who said, I'm going to take in young men that are in crisis in their life and love them. And he brought me here to this church, and I experienced Christ. So, Sam, thank you. That fruit that I'm talking about today, yours too. Yours too. But he was in crisis. Alex was in crisis, and I shared about what Jesus did in my life and how he changed it. And I said, listen, why don't you come? Why don't you come to our large group next week and find a group of people that will love you? And Alex said he was willing to do that. And in fact, if you go to the next slide, here's his story that he shares.
As I was growing up in life, I was taught that fear was everything. Fear was what drove the world around. And in that fear, the only way I could combat it was if I chose to adapt certain features on myself. If I would be liked enough, I wouldn't have to be afraid of a person. If I was different or better or just a new person, that I wouldn't have to acknowledge what was going on in my life, and that I would be able to move past it with a relationship that either I wanted or I thought I needed, or just be able to move on, be something, do more. As things got worse at home, things really got worse at home, I'm not gonna lie. As I adopted more features into my life, I would just keep on piling them on. It would be more and more until I was unable to see what I had changed to be for someone, or what I had changed to be about myself, or what I personally thought. But then Jesus came into my life when I had lost all hope. I thought that I was supposed to be the random news story that you'd hear that was tragic in that one moment, and you'd ponder about it and then move on. I thought that I was, that's all I was left to do. But he gave me a chance. He gave me a chance when I didn't believe in myself. He taught me that, just like it is in 2 Timothy 1:7, I believe, that I was not given a spirit of fear, but I was given one of power, of love, of self-control, when I had felt nothing but hate and chaos and fear. It changed my life, and even now I'm ever-changing, ever-evolving, but I'm not just amassing certain features to myself. I'm finally understanding who I am and what I'm able to do with him in my life.
Earlier this morning, Pastor talked about how young people today, they don't know who they are, what their identity is. The world keeps on telling them, try this thing, try that thing. That was Alex. But then Alex found out that his identity was in the image creator, God, and that he gives him purpose and a meaning in life. Shortly after this, Alex got water baptized in Spencer Lake. It was freezing. I couldn't feel my legs after. Got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit later that year. And then just this year, he got voted in as the president of our student organization and has went through our apprenticeship program and will be discipling young men himself this coming fall. Amen, church? Amen. All right, three of you are excited about that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that people like Alex get to know who the Lord is. And thank you, church, for making it possible for me to be there, to be able to share the truth of his word with him so that he could be set free. On top of that, years ago when I went to Trinity Bible College, one of the courses I took there, you had to take mission courses, and so I decided to take a course in Africa because I'm like, Lord, I'll take this course, just don't ever send me there. Right? Like, this is my payment towards that. Because Muslims and stuff, I'm like, I don't know if I can handle that. At the beginning of the school year at Green Bay, I went to, they had their own s'more cooking event, and I went there. If you go to the next slide, I see a young man with a marshmallow on a stick on fire and doing this with it. So I went up and said, no, don't do that. You're going to kill somebody. Helped him blow that out and put his marshmallow together. And I said, hey, what's your name? He says, my name is Zirak. And I said, Zirak, I'm Brian. Where are you from? He says, I'm from Pakistan. I said, man, I don't know anything about Pakistan. I would love to hear about your home and about your family. Can I get you coffee tomorrow? He's like, oh, that'd be excellent. So we sat down and we had coffee. And we're pulling up Google Earth, and he's so blown away by it. He hasn't seen that before. And pulling up, he's like, that's my uncle's house. And he's telling me about where he's from, telling me about his faith. He's a Muslim. And I said to him, I said, listen, I'm a part of an organization on campus that's a Christian organization, but we love international students, and we would love to be your family while you're away from yours. I'd love to invite you to come to our large meeting and meet some people. He says, oh, that sounds amazing. Can I bring some people with me? I'm like, yeah. So our large group meeting that night, Zirak comes and he brings a friend named Saki with him. And Saki is also from Pakistan. And they get to sit and they get to hear about the truth of God's word, where we talk about that it's reliable, that we can trust that it's true. Because Muslims just believe, they believe in Jesus, they believe he's real, but that he's not the Son of God, that the word of God has been corrupted over time. And so be able to show them, no, that's not true. It's not true. And a fun story. So I was in Springfield, Missouri, the Mecca of the Assemblies of God, later, a few weeks later. And all of a sudden, I get this phone call while I'm there, and it's Saki on the other line. And I said, hey, Saki, what's up? He says, hey, Brian, I'm getting ready to fly to New York to go on this tour, but the guy I was supposed to stay with fell through. I have no place to stay. Can you help me? I'm like, you bet, buddy. I got you. I'll help you out. He's like, oh, great. I'll call you back in an hour before I get on the plane and see what you have. I'm like, okay, buddy. I get out the phone. I'm like, I don't know anybody in New York. So I'm going around the Springfield National Office. I'm like, does anybody know anybody? And I can't find anybody. And then he calls me back an hour later. He's like, all right, Brian, I'm getting on the plane now, so I have to turn off my phone. So when I land, you're going to have something for me, right? I'm like, you bet, Saki, I got you, buddy. Get off the phone. I'm like, oh, God, please, please give me somebody that knows somebody in New York. And so finally I find another guy that was going through the mission appointment with me. He says, oh, I have a friend that's a pastor there. I said, oh, excellent. Gets me in contact with him, and the guy says, we have an apartment that's meant for missionaries when they come to visit, but we don't have anybody this week. He could stay with us. Amazing, I said. So I give him Zaki's number, and I tell Zaki when he calls, he says, he's calling you. The guy picks him up at the airport, takes him to the apartment, gives him a tour, full fridge of food and everything, nice bedroom and stuff. And so Zaki is sitting on the bed after this tour, and he says, nervously, excuse me, sir, but what is this going to cost? He said, absolutely nothing. You're our guest for free. Zaki was blown away. He's like, he's only heard that Christians are terrible. He's like, how can these people that don't know me love me this way? This doesn't make any sense. And when he's coming back that week, I said, hey, listen, this week in our large group, I'm doing this message on the Good Samaritan, who is my neighbor. And I would love to share your story. Would that be okay? And he says, can I share it? So this Muslim student got up in front of our group and other Muslim students and talked about how these Jesus people loved him and took care of him. He'd never experienced anything like that. He'd come from our worship services and he'd come out and he'd say, Brian, what was that? I've never experienced anything like that in my life. And I said, listen, Zaki, you pray 5 times a day and experience nothing, but my God is alive, and he wants a relationship with you. That's the Holy Spirit that's coming after you. And Zaki and I would have many conversations after that about Muhammad and about Jesus, the founders of these faiths, and talk about who they were as people and what they did. Now, Zaki and Zirak did not accept the Lord by the end of the time. I only get them for 1 semester. I'm like, Lord, you got to work overtime on these guys. I'm like, I'm doing my part. You got to do your part, Holy Spirit. But they got home, and they messaged me, and they say, hey, listen, there's a young girl named Sajila that is coming from Pakistan as well, and we told her she has to find Chi Alpha when she gets there. Sajila came, and she brought her friend named Arish, who is from Tunisia. And we continue to get to love on students from Muslim countries. Now, last year we didn't get to because of COVID. And boy, what a bummer, because, man, to have these internationals. Listen, church, I believe in foreign missions. Just a few months ago, Angie and I, we picked up a young lady that went over to Germany. We believe in supporting foreign missions. But an investment into campus ministry is an investment into global ministry. Because if we can reach these students with the gospel, they first don't have to raise this enormous budget that missionaries have to raise to go overseas. They don't have to take 2 years to learn a culture and a language. They just go home and say, I met this Jesus, and they are indigenous missionaries. Oh, God's doing something. Like I said, I wasn't prepared for that. I mean, matter of fact, when I first met Zirak, I'm like, the only thing I knew about the Muslim faith is that it was wrong. So I'm like, so I was calling Muslim missionaries. I'm like, going, give me resources, help me. And they gave me so many great things to be able to have conversations. But at the end of the day, church, it doesn't matter how much knowledge you have. It's, can you present Jesus to people? Can they see that he matters to you? And then they say, I want that too. At the end of the day, you don't have to have all the answers. Just be a representative of Christ and what he did for you. Amen? I'm going to share one final thought with you guys, then I'll turn it back over to the pastor here. Hopefully, what time are we supposed to be done? Am I going overtime here? Am I right? I'm good? Okay. Awesome. I told you guys at the beginning of the service I really love acronyms, right? We have the list. A couple years ago, when we do groups, men's groups and stuff like that, and women's groups, I always come up with acronym names. A couple years ago, one of my favorite ones was Your Mom. Mom is Men on Mondays. That way, whenever our guys' group was happening and my guys had to leave from whatever they were doing, people were like, where are you going? Say, I'm going to see your mom. I just love acronyms, but here's one that I came up with for this year, this season that we're in. COVID. Go ahead to the next slide for me. Christians onto victory in discipleship. Church, throughout history, whenever there's been a pandemic, the church grew. Why? Because while the rest of the world was rejecting those people that were sick and dying, the church went in and loved and took care of them. Why? Because we don't walk, like Alex said, we don't walk in fear. Why don't we walk in fear? There's an empty tomb. That empty tomb is a promise that we have, that one day, even when we are gone, that it is not over, that we have eternal life. So we should not walk in fear. Church, a few months ago, I went to visit a supporter of mine, this nice old lady, 80 years old. And I decided to just go visit her because she'd been faithfully giving just $10 a month, but she was faithful. I'm going to go visit her. A few-hour drive for me, but I'm like, whatever. I get there and I knock on her door. She answers it and she just started crying. And she said to me, "You are the first person I've seen in over a year, other than her Meals on Wheels person." And I thought to myself, church, where are you? Unacceptable. I'm willing to bet that right here in the community of Glendive, where I was raised, there are people that just need someone to knock on their door. Church, be the church during this time. Be a Christian that is walking unto victory and discipleship. Don't just try to get someone to come to church. It's not Pastor Kevin's job to reach the people of this neighborhood. It's his job to equip you to reach your neighborhood. We've done it backwards for so many years, church. A lot of people think, maybe you've said this before, you've thought this before, I hope when I go to church today that the worship really brings it, that I'm going to be so elevated because of that worship. It's going to fill me up. Boy, the pastor really brought today. Now I'm ready to face the week. It's backwards. What really should be happening is during the week, you should abide with Jesus yourself and experience his presence in your life, praying before him, going out and witnessing to your community so that you are filled every day. And then when you walk into this church, you empty yourself for the betterment of everybody else in the room, that you edify. That's what the church is supposed to do, is edify one another. Come in here and edify each other, empty yourself, and then during the week, I don't care what you do on Sunday, I care what you do with the other 6 days of the week. Go out and reach those that don't know him. Help Pastor Kevin achieve a goal of reaching this community for Christ. Make it true that that couple I sat with that said the Assembly of God Church is doing something, that's a prophetic word, do something. This awesome ministry you guys are doing, church dinner, get involved in that and invite people from your neighborhoods to come and hear truth and speak life into people so that they can come to know who Jesus is, just like Devin did, just like Garrett did, just like Alex did, just like these Muslim students. Be the church. Go out in victory during COVID and walk into victory. Pastor, I'll turn it back over to you.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing the word and just the inspirations of what ministries accomplish through prayer and dedication. And it's not an easy thing to be a missionary on a campus. I have not been that person, but I have had opportunity to speak to people from universities, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how do you break through the barriers that are built? How do you battle what professors are telling them that is strongholds to separate people from God, not bring them closer to God? And I'm so thankful for your call and what you've accomplished, Brian, and for your entire family. You're all missionaries together, so keep it up. Amen. We're going to take an opportunity to give a love offering to support this mission, and I don't know if we have our plates up here. Maybe someone can grab those if they're in the back still. And when we dismiss in prayer, as if you feel led to give, you can just put the offering in this offering plate here as you are dismissed from the service today. And if you're online and you'd like to give, you can do so as well. And if we get other funds in later through the week, we'll make sure we get that to you, Brian. So would you all stand with me as we close in prayer? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us and for this mission and this mission field that has been presented to us all. To see one of our own from this assembly, from this community, successfully hearing your voice, responding, and finding ministry success. Even when it looks like there's no success, there still is the seed being planted that somebody else has the ability to then take from there, to see that seed come into full fruition. And I just pray, Lord God, that as we give to continue the support of this great mission field, that you will bless and you will provide and you will guide. I pray a blessing on each and everyone who is able to be a part of this ministry. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you all for coming. The offering plates are here for you to partake in or participate in. Have a great week and be blessed.